Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Glenn Greenidge. Good evening. This is the Man of the Month. This is part of the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we're coming to you live. We're located, somebody needs to mute themselves a little loud there. Okay, so this is Glenn Greenidge and this is International Black Summit, and we're coming to you live. I'm in New York City. We're going to have an interesting guest tonight, Mr. Leary Hackett, and he's going to be talking about conscious. He's a socially conscious poet, and he's going to be talking about some of the work that he's done and some of the conversations, and going to be pretty interesting because I think it's reflective of what we're, some of the work that we're doing here at the International Black Summit. We have several shows. We start off on Sundays. All the Sunday shows are at 8 p.m. And we've got Henrietta Byrd, the first Sunday of the month. She's coming from Chicago, Illinois, and her show is On Track. The second Sunday of the month, we've got Let's Celebrate, and that's coming from Shakesha Showers, and she is originally from Compton, L.A., but she's actually been in Belize for the last 3 months, and she's currently in New Orleans. Matter of fact, this week she's actually in Atlanta, Georgia, so she travels around and gets things happening. And yeah, then the third Sunday, we have Vision Works with our group leader and the governor, Clara Lyons Devon, and she's out of Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and she always has an exciting show. And then on the fourth Sunday is myself, Glenn Greenidge, featuring Man of the Month. We also have two shows on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 6:30. That show starts at 6:30 and goes to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that is Wealth Club. And the intention of that particular show is to talk about financial intelligence, investments, and growing your business. We're going to start out tonight. I'm going to have Clara read the declaration for us. Okay. Ready, Clara?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly.
Wonderful. I want to just say hello to everyone. All of our guests are in queue. We're all good to go. And I'd like to share with you the declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, our women, and our children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. And this declaration statement was created at the first formal summit event, which was held in Atlanta, Georgia, in 1991, and continues to presence itself today in this moment in me and our guests all over the world. Back to you, Glenn.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Clara. Appreciate it. So let me introduce our special guest, Mr. Leary Hackett. He is out of Atlanta, Georgia, but originally out of New York City via Kingston, Jamaica. He and I grew up together. We are been friends for over, I've got to say, wow, over 40 years. And we're going to be talking about some of his poetry. He's also a clothing designer, works with denim, but tonight's show we're actually going to be talking about some other of his creative work, which is in the area of poetry. And without further ado, Mr. Larry Hackett, welcome to our show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
And I thank everybody, staff.
So what would you let people know about a little bit about yourself and some of your work, your poetry work?
Okay, I gotta say, thank God, you know, for keeping me here on this earth. He gave me the knowledge to just sit down and just formulate words without having gone through formal training, and that's just how it is. And I write when I see current events in the world. And I like conscious poetry. I like all poetry really, but being conscious is just what I like to do.
Yeah, and your works you've got a body of work that you've done. We're gonna feature two to three tonight,
thank you.
You're welcome. How many pieces have you written, just approximately?
Wow. Well, at least 20 poems, probably more. Some got lost. I've done creative writing with Amir Baraka.
Okay.
With, Winston Lovett and Sonny Carson, in New York, and Creative Writing Institute in New York.
Okay.
That was in 1984. So, I've been writing for a while, but off and on.
Yeah, but you've also been, Giuliani, the mayor's office from New York City, adopt a couple of your poems? Is that correct?
Oh, yes, it did. That was in May 94. Yes, it did.
Okay.
Yes.
And which poems were those?
One was titled, which were the two. One is Flip the Switch.
Okay.
And then the other one is What's Your Mission?
Okay. So those are the two that that we're gonna be featuring tonight. Okay, great.
Okay, thank you.
So listen, I guess we can get started here. So what which one would you like to go with first?
Well, I guess What's the Mission has been, it was written when the shuttle blew up, 86. So, it's still fresh in my mind, but, nothing has really changed since then. And then Columbia's shuttle blew up also, but I like to just start with the one that's been in the burner for a while, in the back burner.
And what was your frame of mind? So you said it was 1986. The shuttle had blown up. What were you thinking at that point in time? Where was your head at?
My head was very discombobulated. I'm sure everybody's head was the same way due to the actually seeing it happening, and also too the evaporation, which you never really saw. Any too many parts come back down,
Exactly.
Gravity.
Exactly.
Gravity is, things go up, but it should come back down, but not too much came down that day. So, it was really devastating.
Yeah. And that was, and then we have one of our first black astronauts was on that, wasn't it, or?
Ronald Nair from, his father was an auto mechanic in Harlem, and actually, when I worked at Transit Authority, his father worked around the corner for where our garage was.
Okay.
Yes, and he was very, he was hard. He came from a hardworking family, so I was proud of that fact that, you know, good and bad as far as, you know, him being on the, you know, on the shuttle. But,
right,
you know,
right,
bad
right.
as far as, you know, him passing away, you know?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, and also
sure.
being African-American.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Being African-American and also being from Harlem, it really kind of connected to the folks, yeah, and to you
yes,
specifically.
Exactly.
Okay,
yes,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, let's hear the piece and.
Okay, I also create graphics. You know, in each poem that I write. But okay, it starts like this. People, the shuttle went and came back from the solar system. People, the time is now. Stop procrastinating about your education or the job you have to get to stay alive in this ever-changing nation. I'm asking you, what's your mission? Just think about homeless people on the street corner. They will be there from morning till night, waiting for your change. But don't be sorry. There's hope for all. Think of the unfortunate ones who rode a shuttle in the year 1986. Their only mission was to succeed for all mankind. It's like four seasons in a year, 360 degrees in a circle. When our mother gave birth, her job is complete. When our fathers or mothers came home from work with a pocket full of cash, we say thank you. Thank you, Creator. Thank you for everything. Our quest for the best, we want nothing less. The clock on the wall or the wristwatch on your arm, it's not supposed to stop. So why should we? Now do you get my drift? When your breath stops flowing, guess what? Your time is out. And I created graphics too. So, and the graphics is a face, and the words "What's your mission?" is inside, you know, each in the eyes and the mouth. Question mark is in the chin, and you know, the hair, surrounding face is really I left, you know, 4 points open, you know, as so you know, keep it kind of abstract and very distinct. You know, I believe in eye to eye contact, so you know, yeah, that's why I use the face.
Yeah, that's a great poem. I mean that is you know the thing that I'm left with or is relevant for me is we at the International Black Summit we talk about you know your vision and what do you see for yourself, and we look to you know have people engage in this conversation of what are they up to. And so, you know, your poem powerfully points to, you know, what are you up to? What are you doing with your life? You know, it talks about, you know, not stopping and going for it. So, you know, it's just one of those wide open conversations that has people left in inquiry. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that we do at the International Black Summit. We engage people in powerful inquiries that have them look at their life. So I assert that your poem is really that for us. So I just want to thank you and acknowledge that poem. Now where...
I thank you, too. I thank the organization.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So where are you? So even though that was written in 1986, where are you in... relation to that poem now?
Well, I was a worker transit authority in New York City. Medical issues got me away from the job. But you know, I still write and I like to write current events, you know. I'm still, you know, trying, like, you know, really hopefully when I can write poetry, I put it on my clothes. Because a lot of times you see a design or logo on the clothes, and to me, just so you know, some stuff just don't make any sense. But I like to, you know, like know that people in general, especially, you know, really, you know, black folks, you know, I want to see black folks survive and, you know, get their due, you know, 40 acres and a mule, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then the whole works, you know. So, you know, that's really where my head is at. You know, coming from Jamaica, you know, I know poverty, lived in poverty, you know, but my family, you know, worked hard all the time. And, you know,
right.
they made sure, you know, everybody tried to do what they had to do, you know what I mean? And also, too, you know, I want to share that living in Jamaica, you know, Bob Marley, you know, lived in my neighborhood. Well, actually, you know, he came in the neighborhood to take a shower. So, and when I heard his music and, you know, saw how far he came, you know, and I've seen him before, and, you know, it just made me, it made me very proud that, you know, I could see somebody, you know, coming straight from where he came from. But I'm not saying that, you know, everybody or every race don't have a struggle, but just that, you know, like I said, I saw somebody who was really somebody I can be proud of, you know, in a, you know, in all his accomplishments, you know, from where, you know, where he came from, straight ghetto.
So are you saying that Bob Marley really was part of your inspiration in terms of your creativity?
Well, you know, creativity comes from God. You know, you got to praise God, you know, and, you know, that's, you can't take, you know, but Bob Marley, what I'm saying is that seeing where he came from, you know, and the neighborhood, you know, that, you know, both and I, you know, came from is that, you know, I see where, you know, like, you know, through hard work and, you know, dedication, determination, you know, you can get where you got to get, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, he was definitely, you know, I would say, you know, he showed me a lot. You know what I mean? You know, and he showed me a lot. I admire him to this day, you know?
Gotcha.
I mean, all right, the late part of it is.
Well, you know, one of the things that we talk about, and we talk about accountability, you know, one of the distinctions, a couple of the distinctions we talk about is accountability and responsibility, and that you get to where you are in your life being accountable and being responsible for your actions to get you to the place that you're in. And so, you know, one of the things that I hear in your inspiration around Bob Marley is that he created something with his life, and he took responsibility and wasn't restricted by having to you know, from the environment that he actually came from.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, straight ghetto is straight ghetto, you know what I mean? Like, dirt roads and, you know, hard to shoot, you know, sometimes your shoes need repair, you don't have it, you know, food, you know, everything just, you know, not everything was there, not everything was good, you know, but, you know, the struggle continued. And, you know, he did a good job doing what he had to do, you know, plus, you know, his message is, you know, for the people, you know?
Yeah.
And he reached the people.
Excellent. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your next piece. Which is your next work that you would like to present?
All right. I want to keep the focus on God blessing the people, and it's all about people, really.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is about the World Trade Center, because I was there. You know, I watched the Twin Towers go down, you know, and actually, coming out of Jersey, I would have been on that train, you know, that went in, but I got to say at this moment that God told me to get off the bus, and I was craving for water or some kind of melon, which I did,
uh-huh.
Got off the bus, came back. When I got on the next train to go inside New Jersey to New York, my train was, they stopped my train from going in, because other one I really gone in. Usually I'm in New York City like at about 7:45, 8 o'clock, you know, a little bit after 8. But whatever the train I went in there, I was supposed to be on that train. I would be on that train. So I gotta say that God is really, you know, bottom line with me, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know. And not only that too, you know, I gotta also add that in last year, October, I had a stroke. So, you know, I felt death, and I felt the spur. I felt a tornado. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I felt God's force. I knew where I was going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he saved me a few times. You know, and I got it. You know, all praise due to God.
Absolutely.
Yes. So this poem, I'll start reading for you.
Okay.
All right, and I thank you for everything, your whole organization. Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay. While their heads angled still, no blinking in their stare, all motion is denied without approval. Provocation showed pain, the actors wore orange and yellow. When I say the actors, I'm talking about the fire. You know, bottom line.
Okay.
That dancing is a vanishing dance. You know how fast, you know, fire moves, so you gotta move your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, right? So dancing is vanishing dance on the twin towers floor. Gray smoke showered desires and dreams of tomorrow. Screams of destiny echo despair. Shadows of love simmered in the air. September 11th to remember. And what I did was like I spread the word remember, and I put everybody, you know, involved, you know, FDNY,
okay.
God, NYPD, and people.
Okay.
And then after that I wrote evoke eternal presence of the Twin Towers in New York. The graphic says a whole lot of hearts, you know, and I made a heart, you know, with, you know, cracked. A broken heart. And then,
oh,
then
broken
just,
heart, yeah.
Yeah, broken heart. So, and if I was supposed to, which I usually do, I write the poetry and try to create a graphic at the same time. So you would see a Zeffo T-shirt, broken heart, you know, and the World Trade Center on the left chest. And then, you know, all the World Trade Building, you know, the design of the building on the back of the jacket, or, you know, on the hat. You know, but that hasn't been done yet. You know, it's in the making.
Okay, for the graphics part of it. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
For the okay. Graphics, yeah.
And where are you in relation to that poem now? Like, are you still pretty raw with the emotions of the event? Are you healed? You know what?
No.
Where are you?
No. No, you're not. There's no healing at this point from that time on. If things have actually gotten worse, because, you know, you got to remember, too, like, 9-11, everything started from 9-11 as far as, you know, going to war, you know, and, you know, as it is right now, you know, world situation, you know, with the wars with, you know, Iran, Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everybody's still, you know, skied up. You got the Iranian president.
Right.
You got the Iranian president. You got the world involved right now. So 9-11 started a whole lot of stuff. And not just because of 9-11, you know, but
mm-hmm.
you know, it's been a whole lot of stuff brewing before 9-11. You know, people, some folks know what's going on. Some, you know, some just, you know, bottom line sleeping. You know what I mean? But you know, it's, you know, you snooze, you lose. You know, few lives were taken. You know what I mean? You know, you're talking about, you know, at least since 9-11, you can count about, like, you know, at least easy 10,000, you know, dead, you know, and still counting, you know. So whatever's
right.
Going on in Afghanistan, you know, it's all results, you know, that you know, stem from 9-11. And, you know, I'm there watching the building go down.
I watched the building go down
on West 4th Street, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, yeah, you know, and so, you know, I saw the tragedy firsthand. You know, this is not just a conversation. This is real talk, you know.
So as far as you can tell, there's not a whole lot that has changed.
Not a whole lot of good has changed, you know, because
yeah.
Right now, you know, this idea with Bin Laden, you know what I mean, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and all the other, you know, the real evil characters, you know.
Well, you know what I'm reminded of in this conversation is that we also have a distinction called know out there. And know out there is really about not expecting anything outside of ourselves to change who and what we are and what our circumstances are. And so it's really going to take us, each and every one of us as an individual, standing and creating whatever vision that we see for ourselves and for our family and for our community to really work together and to establish something outside of ourselves. Because, as you said, if you wait for the outside influence, you know, it ain't happening.
it's not, you know, we're not destined to get help, you know. So, you know, when you, again, you know, you sit back and, you know, and you watch everything that's happened. A whole lot has happened since 9/11. I mean, like, you know, the world is almost like, you know, I think, you know, people need to put their hands on the Bible and praise God and thank Him constantly, because the world is in trouble. And, you know, all the leaders and organizations who are, like, you know, grassroots, like your organization, is mm-hmm. that, y'all are the only one really trying to, you know, help from the heart. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, show love, you know, and, you know, continue, you know, through education. And just keep your eyes open, you know, and keep moving, you know.
Absolutely.
Because the future for everybody else is not there. I mean, like, it's limited, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you really have to work on your vision and work on your you have to work on your vision moment by moment by moment. And the opportunity is to keep taking action that's consistent with that vision in the current moment, because you can't worry about the moment that occurred that's past, because that's already the past, and you can't worry about the future. You know, you can have a future and point to the future and have your actions point to that future, but the only thing that you have full control of is in the moment. So I definitely hear that.
Well, I look back on when I look at TV, CNN, and on big, you know, the channels with the stories, the BBCs, you know, you just gotta, you know, put your hands together and just acknowledge God, you know, because you actually, you know, I mean, I was raised, you know, like listening, you know, in the Bible and everything,
mm-hmm.
but you know, I see and know and realize in my heart that, you know, people really have to, you know, like open the Bible, you know what I mean, because, you know, I was there, I knew I was going. In October, and really, I'm still looking. You know, we have Obama, but he has his hands filled big time. You know what I mean? So, you know, he's trying to clean up, you know, a whole lot of years of mess. You know, a whole lot of mess to clean up. And
that's,
you know,
right.
it's just mind-boggling. You know that, you know, I mean, to the expectation of some that, you know, it's going to be cleaned up in no time. You know, that ain't gonna happen no time soon. You know.
Right.
When you listen to the story, as far as, well, you know, are we going in a recession in, like, you know, a few years early before, prior to, you know, Obama, you know, we was already in a recession, you know what I mean? So, you know, hey.
Yeah.
Sex lives and videotapes, you know, it's rolling, you know what I mean? Yeah.
That's
Glenn,
true.
We have a couple of callers.
Okay.
I believe out of New York, 212-927. Do you have a comment or a question? And also 312-593 out of Chicago. Okay, great.
No questions? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've got a little break here, so let's. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. This is the Man of the Month. We've got several shows. We're all the shows on Sunday start at 8 p.m. Our Tuesday show starts at 6:30 p.m. We're part of the International Black Summit. Our website is www.blacksummit.org. We are having an annual event this August in London, England.
Yeah.
And what we're going to be, and our annual event this year is going to be in London, England, and next year is going to be in Baltimore, Maryland. And next year, we also have community events. We have a prerequisite event. That's a one-day event. We have a community event that's designed specifically for communities to use the technology of the International Black Summit to support themselves in creating a vision and working on that vision, taking action consistent with that vision, as well as we're also looking to work with businesses and organizations and put together a program around empowerment and self-improvement. So those are some of the things and some of the programs that we have available. We have with us tonight Mr. Larry Hackett out of Atlanta, Georgia currently, but through New York City and through Kingston, Jamaica. And we're discussing some of his creative work, his poetry. And, you know, that's one of the things that we're definitely talking about tonight. And if we have a few moments, I also want to talk a little bit about Michael Jackson and get to that topic. But that will be we've got another poem to get through, and we're going to discuss that a little bit and just do some other things. So, Larry.
Yes, sir.
Back to you, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What would you what's your next work that you want to talk about?
Okay. The title is Flip the Switch.
Flip the Switch. I like that title. I love that title. Flip the Switch.
Thank you. It's over 400 years. You know.
Okay.
400 years delayed.
So I hear that. I love that. That's good.
Yes, I know I skipped some years, but 400 definitely, because I'm from, coming out of Jamaica. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yes. All right. So, again, graphics was created. The graphic is, really, it's the world in the background.
Okay.
The word flip the switch is written. You have a heart in the middle.
Okay.
Then you have a light switch.
Okay.
A baby is being held up. A switch.
Okay.
The baby is black and white.
Okay.
And then there's a black and a white individual, holding that baby up, flip the switch.
Okay.
And the flip the switch is still off.
Okay.
All right. It's still off. Okay.
Okay.
It goes like this. A flick of the light switch should move us in our way. Wake the heart, tell it your feelings. A cloud came over me that's known as a dream. So many came before me, each with showers of tears, constantly flowing, pleading for change. Racism got tired of seeing one color. Equality can never get a perfect weight or elevate for that matter. Meanwhile, love is waiting, as it's been for centuries. It's as sure as the moon and the sun, that brings us day and night. Places of worship should have heart monitors at each doorstep. But then again, let action be the test at this time. And also too, there's an audience, as we know, the world,
okay.
Still waiting.
Still waiting. Huh?
The switch is still off, and that's flip the switch.
And so where are you in this moment about that conversation?
Racism is alive.
Say it again?
I'm going to say racism is still alive,
Okay, gotcha.
Yes, bottom line, racism, we're talking about jobs right now. We're talking about a world shutdown almost.
Yeah.
Economically, so, it's everything's all the way live right now.
Okay.
Yes.
So again, that's another conversation of what's out there, what's happening, and waiting for the destruction of racism.
Yes.
Flip the switch, so
yes.
that it no longer
yes.
happens. Now the metaphor, is it bringing light to the subject? Or cutting the light off.
Well, I'll tell you what, a whole lot of people are starving, we know where we can go, where we can't go, who's gonna bottom line profiling,
That's
so,
right.
We come from New York City. Been to all the boroughs. And a few states, I know what's going on, and everybody else too. So, everything is a sector, as a matter of fact, you know, I don't think I can, you know, redesign this graphic and put the switch on, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
The switch is off.
The switch is off. You know? Yeah. I want to say, as far as Obama, he's trying to turn the switch on. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, everybody's pulling on the shoes. Everybody's pulling on the shoes right now. You know? He's handcuffed. Huh?
No, I hear you, brother. I definitely hear that.
Glenn, we have another caller.
Yes, go ahead.
Line 313-459, you're live on the air. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, my name is Ron Smith, and I'm from Detroit. I just connected in about 3 minutes ago, so I don't know the context of the conversation, but I'll be listening in.
Oh, okay.
Great. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we're discussing some socially conscious poetry from Larry Hackett, and we're just discussing Flip the Switch, which is really about racism and being able to turn the switch on so that the switch is flipped. And so what we're speaking to is that the switch isn't on yet, hasn't been the switch has not been flipped, and so we're still dealing with and working through the things of racism, and so one of the things, you know, so one of the things that I'm again left with is the context of your poetry, Larry, but the other thing that keeps coming up, that keeps showing up, is the heart center. So there's something about the heart center that is in all three of the poems that we've talked about tonight. So what, you know, I assume that's love, but I don't know. So what?
No. It's all about love.
Good. Okay.
Love is key. God is love.
God is love.
Yeah. And you know what? You know, I'm glad you asked that, right? Because let's just take Michael Jackson for a second, right?
Okay.
You know, may his soul rest in peace. And he's I would say he's a messenger. Now,
yeah.
If you notice, there's one of his videos where he showed the kids running up to the soldiers and the soldiers throwing their guns away.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And he is always, you know, like trying to make sure, you know, show love in his videos. And that's what he's been all about. You know what I mean? He's just been blessed with fancy feet and you know, and good movement, you know?
Right.
You know, he's been doing the job. It's all about love, you know, at least that's where I'm coming from. You know, as a matter of fact, if I have time, I can read the poem to you again, because it just came on.
We've got about 20 minutes left of the show. Yeah, go ahead. Read the poem again for
her. Is he still on? Is the caller still on?
Yeah, I believe the caller is still on.
All right. Okay. Here we go again. A flick of the light switch should move us in our way. Wake the heart. Tell us your feelings. A cloud came over me that's known as a dream. So many came before me, each with showers of tears, constantly flowing, pleading for change. Racism got tired of seeing one color. Equality could never get a perfect weight or elevate for that matter. When you go in the courthouse, you know what happens to you. Meanwhile, love is waiting as it's been for centuries. It's as sure as the moon and the sun that brings us day and night. Places of worship should have heart monitors at each doorstep. I'm talking about reverence and the pastors, too. Places of worship should have heart monitors at each doorstep. But then again, let action be the test of time. I've gone to church, and I'm sure you know, a whole lot of people can attest to this. You go in church, and you know what's gonna happen. Pretty pastors, you know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
Robbing, stealing money. You know what I mean? Come on, you know, this is not, you know, Stephen want to know that. You know, Stephen want to see them know it. Stephen want is another person, you know, that's been reaching out to the world. You know, apartheid.
Yeah.
It goes on and on, you know, so, you know, I'm all about, you know, people getting loved.
Yeah.
You know, that's the bottom line. It's the bottom line, you know.
Well, you know, one of the things I can speak to is that when you are connected to a person, to humanity, and I don't care, you know, what color you are, but there's something about when you reach the connection or you're connected to someone, you're in touch with the love that they are, and that love is the access point of communication. Deepak Chopra talks about the access to transformation is through love, you know, and that was one of the things that he was very clear about in his work, is that love was the point of being able to transform ourselves to, you know, on a cellular level, you know, to be able to transform ourselves. So that's great. Well, I want to thank you for sharing your poetry with us.
Thank you very much.
And what I'd like to do, so you brought up Michael Jackson, and of course Michael Jackson is everywhere in the radio, the television, and so forth. Let's spend a couple moments talking a little bit about Michael Jackson. You made a point that he was about love as well, and you talk about an access point. I don't want to talk about how he died, but I want I want to talk about what his contribution was. I know for myself, when I look at the impact that he's had on my life, he has provided a lot of joy, a lot of entertainment. To a certain extent, I think that he was robbed from his childhood, and he actually expressed his childlike ways through his music and his entertaining, and was able to really thrill us, through his excitement. So that's what I see and think about some of the things that he's contributed. What about you, Larry?
Well, first of all, looking back on Michael, God has blessed him. God has blessed him, immensely. And this fight of his, I saw the interview the other night, and they had a marathon on his videos. And one of the producers of one of his videos, and I asked him, he said, he lived in Gary, Indiana, and they passed his house, at his early age. After he made maybe two songs, and he said, this is where I lived, but I never had a childhood, So even though his childhood, wasn't, kid fun, having fun every day, he was, I guess his father saw, I got to give his father credit, even still, the way he was, he was pushed in life as an early entertainer. But, he did his job, he did a great job as a human being and as an entertainer, because, he suffered a lot, but he showed us a lot, too, while he was suffering. So now, that's like footprints, right, where God is always with you and behind you and, all around you. You don't see it, but he's always there. I can see Michael Jackson came here and he delivered his job and just the way God has done his job, footsteps is still stepping,
Yeah.
And may his soul rest in peace, The moonwalk is enough to say, he came on earth and he's gone now sadly, he left with a moonwalk. Keep on stepping, Keep on stepping with the goddess of love.
Right, because he definitely has created a footprint for himself.
Left a footprint.
He reminds me, they have the conversation or the context of a pond, And when you throw a rock in the middle of the pond, that wave, that energy cycles all the way to every part of the shore. And so I assert that his rock that he dropped on us has touched all the corners of the world.
Yes, indeed.
You know, in terms of his, you know, his love, his gaiety to life, just enjoying life, and really just you know, just expressing himself fully.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Great. This is the International Black Summit. This is the Man of the Month, part of the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We've got our guest, Larry Hackett. I'm the host, Glenn Grinnis. This is the Wealth Club. Sorry, this is the Man of the Month. And we're actually, I'm actually going to open up the line, so if anybody's got any questions or comments, Michael, the passing of Michael Jackson has been impactful in most of our lives, I would say. Certainly he was impactful in my life. And if anyone wanted to share anything about Michael in terms of what he's been able to provide or what his vision of the world provided to you personally, please use this opportunity. We've got a couple minutes left to share what that impact was and how he's impacted your life.
So this is Claire. We have a couple of callers. 312 out of Chicago. Are you there?
Yes, I had you on mute.
Do you have a comment to share?
I was trying to think if I have one or not. We're planning to take a trip to Gary. Some friends of ours, one of them made a request of us to go by the house so she could, you know, so she could put something there, you know, like, you know, a momentum. So we're going to do that Tuesday or Wednesday this week. But I don't know. I've been talking about it all week. I've been watching it, and BET is doing a special tonight. They said however long it takes, they're just going to stay on the air until they, you know, till people finish doing whatever. But I don't know. He's, when I look at the work that he put into his music and his entertainment, you know, I just think about how many different ways there are to send messages. You know, there was always a message in his video, and for years we didn't have video, and so the message came through the lyrics of the song, or before we even listened to the lyrics in Chicago. You know, it was dance, it was stepping, and you were more concerned that you were on the right beat than you were about what was being said. And then, you know, there came a time when we started listening to the lyrics. And when I listen to them now, I'm like, God, he was such a musical, a vocal genius at such a young age, as well as, you know, that you have a little 8 or 9 year old boy singing about love as if he knew something about it, and the only way he could have known something about it was as what he brought with him from his last life, because he was so young, you know. But it's interesting. I've been, you know, those are just some of the observations that I've been making. Is just the genius in his voice, as you know, as well as his dance ability, and creating the stories in the video.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was listening to a radio station earlier today, and they talked. Matter of fact, it was Al Sharpton was discussing, and of course he had a he grew up with Michael. He was only I think he said it was only about a year or two older than Michael, and so they had met as teenagers. And one of the things that he commented on that I didn't realize, but now in retrospect it made sense. Michael Jackson was the first black video to be on MTV. So when he broke into that pop culture, he really transformed black artists being accepted on MTV. He was like one of the first to really take it on. And he also had his videos were the first that were like a movie. You know, I think Larry, you were talking about it in terms of it being established as a message in there.
Right.
And you pointed to it as well, Henrietta. And so there were definitely messages. And, you know, and it speaks to that we as human beings have to keep ourselves open to the possibility, because we never know where the message is going to come from.
Right.
You know, it came from this young man. It could be a bum in the street that may say something to us, and that very thing may be the thing that has us transform our lives or have a breakthrough that is transforming. So
yeah, and then it brings that piece about unpredictable results in our declaration, you know, or in the declaration, I should say, of the International Black Summit. And, you know, even through all of whatever his childhood was like, whatever that was, still he could do things that appear to be impossible to others. While other people were going through the same thing that he had gone through, they became victims of it.
Yes.
And he may have been. I'm not judging it one way or the other. I'm just saying that through whatever it is that he went through, he was still able to practice a craft to the degree that he could. Everything he created was greater than the last thing that he had done. So I think there is a message for us there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, we have about 7 minutes, and we have two other callers.
Okay.
So the gentleman from Detroit,
please.
And also 347-663.
Okay. Bring them on, please.
Music is.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
The gentleman from Detroit.
I'm listening right now. Thank you.
Okay. And the other is 347-663. You're live on the air. Do you have a question or a comment? Okay, great. Back to
okay.
you, Glenn.
Okay.
Can I make an addition?
Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
Can I make an addition? I'd like to say, too, right? Can I go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you. Looking at Larry King last night, he had Usher on, Liza Minnelli,
okay.
Brandon, Marlon Brandon's son. Now,
okay.
Larry King, you know, in retrospect of you know who he is and you know what he's all you know so far as what his questions were. Now, his question was like it was all about you know what addiction Michael Jackson had. You know what I mean? He wasn't trying to focus as far as you know like his brilliance and anything like that. In what he has accomplished. You know, my brother told me today. The internet was, I think, Google, whatever, you know, Calgary it is, they were flooded to the max as far as people, you know, trying to, you know, get their lines open, you know, like, speak on Michael Jackson. But, like, again, you know, Larry King is all about, you know, he was on drugs or whatever. He tried to, you know, like, point out the bad side to Michael. To me, I don't care what happened, and I really don't care what happened. He's still the best, and that's the footprints we all, you know, for us, you know, look at and see him walking, because, you know, just right now, His sales and record is supposed to go up because now you can get a better view of him. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
So, you know, you figure, what, 20 years after, whatever, you know, it's time to take another look at him. You know, but again, You know, it's always trying to find the bad things in us as a people. You know, and the story and the story continues.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, we have the opportunity to look at the best of the best, and to use that to move ourselves forward and to move ourselves and to guide who we are and what we're up to. You know, we've got an opportunity not just to include it all, to include the good, the bad, and the ugly, but and to understand and know that what we see and what we carry with us is what we have. So,
you know,
yeah, go ahead.
I want to give a shout out. I want to give a shout out to Usher, because Usher had to really check him and say, it's not about his addiction, And so he was checked last night. If you go back and check the the interview.
Good for Usher. Go ahead.
Sorry.
This is Adam Weber in Atlanta, giving a shout out to Petal, who is celebrating her 50th birthday.
I thought, what was that?
Oh, today's Petal's 50th birthday?
50th birthday, brother.
Okay.
That's all right. I'm going to tell her that you said many, many more.
Many, many more. What's up, Adam? How you doing, buddy?
You the man, brother. I'm doing good, man. I'm doing real, real good.
This was really
a fantastic birthday party. One of the best I've ever been to.
Excellent. Well, send her our love and the grace and the beauty that she is, and as you said, for her to have many, many more.
Okay, brother.
Right, Adam Sanchez from Henrietta.
Hey, Henrietta. How you doing?
Hey.
All right.
Tell Petal happy birthday.
Okay, will do.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right,
and
guys.
And much love to your family, too, Adam.
Thank you.
Same here.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Listen, hello?
Yeah, we've got about 3 minutes left, Clara?
I want to say shout out to the God bless the family, the Jackson family.
Yes.
God bless the Jackson family.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, they're gonna need all the love and white light that we can send them to get them through this time of bereavement. And here's the other thing to also, for all who's listening, to love ourselves, to understand and love ourselves, and give love to ourselves. So that's the thing that I want to. And Larry, thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for sharing the work that you've done. Your body, I know it's a small piece of what you created, but it's a very impactful piece. So thank you for sharing that with us.
I thank International Black Summit all the way around.
You're very welcome. You're welcome. This is the International Black Summit. This is the Man of the Month. This is the part of the talk show network. We've got shows on all four Sundays, and if there's a fifth Sunday, we have a special guest that comes on for that. We've got On Track the first Sunday. We've got Let's Celebrate the second Sunday. We've got Vision Works the third Sunday. We've got Man of the Month, and we also have the Wealth Club on Tuesday, the second and fourth Tuesday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. all Eastern Standard Time. I think we're about out of time, Clara. Are we still streaming? Thank you. Love you. Appreciate all of you who are listening. Please come to our website, and if you're interested in getting out to London, England, please come do that. We love you, thank you, and good night.
God bless everybody.
God bless you.
Okay, take care.
Ciao.
Bless the world.
God bless you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Take care now. Young people out.